All right, good morning, everyone. Let's go ahead and open up to Habakkuk chapter 2. First thing I want you to do this morning, open up to Habakkuk chapter 2. So that's the first thing I want you to do. The second thing I want you to do is I want you to think for just a minute. Before we get started, I want you to think, what does God have in store for you? What plans does He have in 2019? And when you're doing this, when you're thinking about this, because I'm going to pray in just a minute, I want you to think about this. Do you realize how much you're loved by God? It might be a dream that's in your mind right now. It might be something that God has deposited. He's ensconced it right into your heart. But I want you to be mindful of this. I want you to be open this morning. I want you to be aware that 2019 is going to be a year of expectation, and you need to have the spirit of expectation. You need to anticipate that the Lord's going to do something. This is not a word faith message. This is a faith-filled message. What does God have for you? And it might be something like a dream. It might be something that He has called you to. It might be something that He has purposed for you in your heart. This is a work that I want you to do. This is a calling. This is a gift. This is a promise. I don't know what it is for you. I just know for me, I'm wrestling through this right now. I'm thinking about this. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Do you know how hard that is? I'm already getting into teaching and preaching mode. Do you know how hard that is for me? Small beginnings are discouraging for me. And yet the Lord says in His word, I don't want you to despise the day of small beginnings. I've got something greater. I've got something better for you. And it just kills me sometimes, waiting and waiting and waiting for those promises, for that calling, for the fulfillment of the things that He's put into my heart to take place. Last year, the Lord said, it's an overhaul. You need an overhaul. Listen, He's not done with the overhaul. I'll just be perfectly honest with you. He's not done with me. He told me this week, there's two areas that we still need to overhaul, Robert. We're not done, but we're still moving forward. We're not stopping. And there have been some things in my life where they have been overhauled. If you remember, God gave me that word for me and for our congregation. And so I've tried to live that out. I tried to allow Him to overhaul my diet, to overhaul my health, my working out, my exercise, my reading, my dependency upon Him, the church, the platform, the discipleship process that we're going through. We're doing things that we've never done before. Calvary Chapel really doesn't do things the way that this is being done. I don't have a model that I'm following. It's a dependence upon the Lord. And so we come in here and we look, and honestly, I can't despise the day of small beginnings. I have to anticipate. I have to expect that something is going to happen, something great. I have to be filled with faith. Faith is absolutely essential for us. Are you with me? So I ask you, what does God have planned for you? What is in 2019? What work, what calling, what gift, what promise, whatever it is, what is it that God has for you? And how can you position yourself? Listen, I'm going to pray real quick and then I'm going to get into my introduction, because that's not my introduction. That's just priming the pump, okay? I'm ready. I'm ready to give you a message that God has for you and for me for 2019. So let's pray. Father, we thank You again for today. God, we praise You for this opportunity to come into Your house. Lord, thank You for the heat, God. I know we've had cold days out before, and You've provided health and heat to us, Lord. We thank You for all the good things, all the blessings that You have for us. God, I thank You for Your plans for us. God, You tell us in Jeremiah 29 that Your thoughts towards us are not evil, but they're good. You bring us to a future and a hope, Lord. There's something yet to be awaiting for us, Lord, yet to be received. And so I pray in Jesus' name right now that You give us an extra measure of faith, and You'd help us to have the aptitude, the comprehension today to understand the steps and the points, the instructions, the directions that You'd have for us to be able to receive fully from Your word. And God, I pray that this would frame up, Lord, a pathway for us into 2019. God, would you fill us with a spirit of expectation this morning? Not of discouragement, not of defeat, Lord, but one of victory. One of seeing and having your vision for us revealed in a fresh and in a new way. Lord, I pray the things that you put upon people's hearts right now, that Lord, you've asked me to ask them, what is it that you have for them in 2019? God, I pray that you would bring these things to the surface. God, I pray that you would reveal these things to us right now, that we can apply them immediately, Lord. Not after the study, not later this week, not the rest of the year, Lord, but today, right now, during the study, we could be applying the things that you're going to teach us from your word. So God, I pray that you'd speak to us in volumes today. God, I pray that our hearts would be open. I pray that we would be like a book that would be free to be written upon. And I pray that you would fill up the book, Lord, today. Lord, bless your people. You died for us. You were raised for us. You live for us. You ever live to make intercession for us. God, I pray that you would fulfill your plans and your purposes for our lives. And I pray that you'd use today to instruct us on how you're going to do that and how we can align ourselves with that. So, Lord, bless our time together, Lord. Be as we pray, Lord. And we always, Lord, this is one fellowship, Lord, not the adults only as being saved, but even those little saints and from the oldest to the youngest, Lord. Lord, we just pray that your anointing would be upon this place today and that you would bless every soul here. And thank you again, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would anticipate the great things and the good things that you have for us in 2019. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, Jesus just looked at things differently. He just totally had a different perspective on things. And when he would come into situations, a lot of times, he would respond accordingly. When people had died, they would say, look, it's someone, so-and-so had died. And Jesus would come in. You see, life had ended. Man had used all of his intelligence, all of his schemes, all of his plots, all of his ploys. Man utilizes every tool in his arsenal until he comes to the point where he says, I throw up my hands in defeat. I cannot win. And when death hits, that's the way man responds. It's over. It's done with. It's dead. There's nothing more. And God would say, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will not die but have everlasting life. There was a guy who was a ruler. His name was Jairus, and he had a daughter who had died. And Jesus came in Matthew chapter 9, verse 24. Jesus, he said, look it, make room, make room. Everybody's wailing. What they do is they would hire mourners to come in, professional mourners, people who would be, it's like accompanying a band to a funeral. And they would wail. I mean, they were really, really good at crying. They were so good at crying, they had like such a strong anointing that the people around would feel bad too, and they would begin crying. Have you heard somebody cry just deep from the soul? They were really skilled at that. And so all these people are around, if you're catching the scene, oh, she's died, this poor girl. Everybody's weeping, and Jesus says, make room, make room. The girl's not dead, but she's sleeping. And it says in that verse, and they ridiculed him. When a person doesn't have faith, they ridicule the work of Christ. But if you have faith, then you anticipate, you expect something to happen. I just can't help but think for myself and think for us in this fellowship. We look at things with such a limit to things, with such finite terms. What does God have for us? Well, he can't do it because of this. Well, he can't do that because of this. And God would say, I'll take the things, the foolish things of the world, and I'll confound the wise. All of your worldly wisdom, listen, because you have to understand, there's going to be so many principles. I don't know how you're going to take notes. I've got an outline, and I'll give it to you in just a few minutes. I don't know how you're going to take notes. I encourage you to take notes, because there's going to be principle laid upon principle laid upon principle on how you can apply these things. I guarantee you. One of the things that you have to understand is that God is not limited where we're limited, like the dead girl. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. In other words, she's going to rise, because he came in right after that and said, arise, young lady. You're not dead, you're alive. And there's some things that God may have put in your heart, you might say it's dead, there's just no hope. If you're one who gets discouraged easily and defeated easily like me, then you know what? You wrestle with that. And you need a message like this. And you need to know that God is the God of resurrection. So when you feel like something's died, God comes in and says, I'm not done. And then you have to allow faith to kick in. The Lord wants to say to you and to me this morning, look at it from my perspective. Don't look at it from where you're at. Look at it from where I'm at. Look at it from me as being the source of power. Not you. Not all of your intelligence, not all of your tactics, all of the ways that you can think you can white knuckle it and try and make it work out. I want you to look at it from my perspective. Faith is foundational to the spirit of expectation. So as you're stirring up your hearts this morning and saying, God, what is it that you put into my heart? What is it that you've called me to? What is it that you've given to me? What is it that you've promised me? You have to allow faith to be in there. Faith says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please God. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If you're diligently seeking him, I mean, if you're zealously pursuing him, he says, listen, I'm going to reward you. You have to understand there's a fair God and he loves you. He loves you so much to say, I'm going to give you this. That's my plan. But listen what Hebrews 11:1 says. If you're taking notes, this is a great verse. This is how you define faith. Biblical faith is defined as Hebrews 11:1. But faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It's a substance. It's something that is substantial, something you can hold. Faith, we think of faith as, well, it's something that I just believe in. I just trust in. I have faith, but it's not something tangible. And yet God says, in my economy, faith is something that is substantial, something you can hold on to. Faith needs to be so real to you and to me that we can hold on to it. You have to believe. And when faith becomes that, when your belief comes to that level that you can actually hold on to it, it's substantial. And he says, this is what faith is. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And then he says, the evidence of things not seen. You know what is impressive about that? If you ever play Monopoly, I'm not a big board game. I don't like playing a whole lot of games. I like playing cards, you know. I don't like playing a whole lot of board games. But this is one thing that I think is very cool. The word for evidence and the evidence of things not seen, that is like a Monopoly card. When you go and when you play Monopoly, I think everybody's played Monopoly. You go for a couple pieces or a couple blue cards, right? They're title deeds. Are you guys with me? Boardwalk and Park Place. Those are the two. I mean, that's your bread and butter. You go for those. If you can get those and then put hotels on them, right? Houses or whatever they are, right? Like you're going to do good and you're going to get more rent, right? From somebody has to stop there, right? Well, that word for evidence, that's the same word. It's a title deed. You own that thing. Faith allows you to know that you own it. You've got a title deed to this thing that God has called you to, given to you, promised to you, or is stirring up into your heart. So today, this morning, what tools do we need in our wheelhouse to have this spirit of expectation? What tools can we add or replace? Because some of you might have lost some tools. I think I lose tools from time to time. You guys ever lose tools? Sometimes I lose tools. Sometimes spiritually, I lose tools. And God says, are you using this tool? There's a tool in your warehouse. In other words, you should be really gifted with this tool. And sometimes I misplace it. And then I'm like, where's that tool at? I need that tool back. And God says, Robert, you need to add this tool or replace that tool. Robert, I need you to have that tool in your warehouse so that you have a spirit of expectation. We're going to look at three this morning, okay? There's probably a lot of different tools, but there's three main ones that we're going to look at this morning. One, and here's our outline, 3 points. First one, you definitely need a position. There's a definite position that's needed. You need to be positioned. In order for you to have a spirit of expectation, you need to have that position and it needs to be definite. The second thing, there needs to be a definite perspective that's needed. A definite position needed, a definite perspective needed, and a definite prayer needed. And I'm going to show you in the scriptures where we see those. The first one's in Habakkuk chapter 2. Was that not fair of me to give you time to find it? Because sometimes it's hard. You might have to dust it off a little bit. I don't always go to Habakkuk that often, but this is a great, great passage. We're just going to look at one verse, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. There's a definite position that's needed. And so Habakkuk, if you know this about Habakkuk, he comes in and he is wrestling. He is wondering. He's not fully getting it. God has told him certain things. God said, listen, here's what I want you to do. And here's what's going to happen. I'm going to send in the Babylonians and they're going to discipline you. Why would you send in these heathens to discipline us, your children? And he's wrestling with that. And he says, and why would you still want to use your children? He's like, I just don't get the whole thing. God, what is your plan? What are you doing? And God says, listen, I want you to pay attention. Habakkuk, I want you to be listening to me because I'm going to reveal my will to you. But Habakkuk does something very, very important. He does a few things, four things actually, that we're going to look at. In positioning himself, he does four very important things. If you want to have a spirit of expectation, you have to position yourself. And the way that you position yourself, four things. One, you need to be determined. I'll give you the outline if you're taking it. The second thing, you need to be dependent. Third thing is you need to be disciplined. And then you need to be defined or developed. I'll go over those again, but you have to understand this is very, very straightforward, very simple. Habakkuk has it. He figured it out. And in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1, it says, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart. I watch and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. So the first thing is you need to be determined. He says, I will stand my watch. Listen to the immediacy of Habakkuk. He's immediate upon this, and he says, I will stand my watch. He's not waiting for a convenient time. He's not saying, listen, I'm going to set up an appointment with God, or you know what, I'll wait till next week. He says, right now, I'm acting upon this. He's determined that the Lord is going to do something right then, right there, and he's pursuing the Lord with all that he has. Take this down. Take this scripture down if you're taking notes. If you're not, just try to remember it. Jeremiah 29:13. Jeremiah 29:13 says this, and you will seek me and find me when you do what? When you search for me with all of your heart. There's a promise that God has given to us. If you seek him out and you search him with all of your heart, he says, you will find me. Listen, there's a great promise in that. Because as you look at what God's called you to, what he's given to you, what he's promised you, what he's put into your heart, any of these things, right? The things that we've asked to let be stirred in our hearts this morning, you have to understand, if you search him out with all of your heart, he says, you're going to find me. I believe this with all of my heart, is that if a person genuinely seeks the Lord out with everything that he has, he's going to hear from the Lord. Some people will say, I sought the Lord out with all my heart, and I don't think they really did. And they say, but I didn't hear from him. I can tell you this. When I've sought the Lord out with all of my heart, I absolutely hear from him. When I am desperate for him, he arrives, and he gives me what I need. He gives me the answer to the questions I have. I don't know how that equates to you. I'm just telling you this. I really believe this verse 100%. And sometimes, church, I fault myself, rightly so, because I don't seek him out with all of my heart. You can't go through the motions in life and expect to hear something dynamic from the Lord. If you want 2019 to be just a luxurious, kick your feet up, relax sort of year, then you're going to get that. You're going to get a kick your feet up. You can do that. God will not, he won't keep you from doing that. But you're not going to have a dynamic relationship with him this year. Robert, you won't have a dynamic relationship with me. You won't hear from me like you could unless you pursue me with all of your heart. Robert, you need to do that. That's what I hear the Lord saying. 2019 needs to be a changed year for me. Habakkuk is determined to petition the Lord until he gets that answer that he needs. And he is questioning the Lord. Why? Why would you do this? Why is this happening? That usually happens when somebody's discouraged and defeated. I don't know if you know that or not. Why, God? Why wouldn't you just bless me? That's a question I ask. I deserve this. I've been doing this a long time. How come you're holding all this back from me? And God said, well, listen, Robert. Let's have a little talk. I got perfect timing on things. And what I want you to do right now, I want you to teach these people, and I want you to observe it yourself, and I want 2019 to be a changed year, and I want you to have a spirit of expectation. I want you to seek me with all your heart. Sometimes we don't get the answers that we want or need for one simple reason, and that is determination. We just need to be determined. When he says, I'm going to stand, this word means to stand. It's amad in the Hebrew. It means to stand in a position till the answer arrives. And then he says, and I'm going to stand my watch. Really pay attention to this. This word watch, it's meshmereth, and it means to guard, protect, or preserve. Meshmereth means to guard, to protect, or to preserve. And he says, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm going to stand. I'm going to stay here until I hear from the Lord, and I'm going to guard it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to preserve it. The question that I have to you and to me is this. What has the Lord given to you? What does he have planned for you in 2019 that you need to guard or protect or preserve? Can you be determined to guard, to protect that thing? That thing that we asked, I gave you that beginning where we primed the pump. What is stirring in your heart right this minute that God would say, here's what I have for you? Because I believe God has something for you. Again, this is not a word faith message. This is our God loves us. He's our Heavenly Father. He totally wants to bless us. Be determined. Number two, be dependent. He says, I will set myself on the rampart. The word set myself, it talks about a pursuit where we're depending upon the Lord. It has to be deliberate. We have to set ourselves. We have to position ourselves. We have to be actively pursuing him. And then it talks about our position. Where is it that he says, I'm going to go here to the... It's open. Listen, it's one verse, really simple. You're going to go to the rampart, right? This is a siege tower. You know what it also is? It's a place of defense. Interesting when you look at the guarding of that which God has called you to. And it's a place of defense. The whole atmosphere of defense is taking place and needs to be considered. We need to be dependent upon the Lord, not distracted by the things of the Lord. We need to get away from TV, radio. Not listen, I like watching TV. I love watching movies. But there needs to be an isolation where we're saying, God, I'm drawing myself to you. I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to not listen to the radio. I'm going to get away from the computer, right? Are you guys with me? Phones. How many people put the phones down at dinner time? You got to put the phones down at dinner time. You got to make some rules. So you hear from one another. And then you need to say, listen, the first thing I pick up is going to be the Bible and read through the Bible and not pick up my phone and go through Instagram or Facebook or whatever and follow, how's this happening? I'm on Instagram, but I don't really watch it that much, you know, not on Facebook. But you know what I do? I like to watch YouTube. All kinds of helpful videos, and I can get, I swear to you, like an hour can pass like that. I watch, and sharpening myself, you know, how to reason better, how to fly fish better, like things that they're very enjoyable for me to watch, you know. But the Lord would say, listen, you need to get away from those things and just seek me out. I cannot tell you what a secret that is for your faith and for you hearing from the Lord. Try in your prayer life over this next year, try and kneel down before the Lord, if you can kneel down, if your body allows you to do it. Open your Bible before you start reading and just pray. And don't ask anything. Start off just praising and adoring him. And then just wait and be quiet. I'm telling you, it is hard not to ask for things, but that we just praise him, we adore him, we praise and we worship him, and then we just wait and we let him speak to us. There needs to be a communication. That's how prayer goes. Habakkuk got it. He figured it out. And he says, I'm going to set myself on the rampart. I'm going to put myself in a place that is a defense. I'm going to defend my time. Do you guard your time with the Lord? Or are you like, you know, it's okay, I don't want to spend time with God anyways? Listen, you don't answer that, because some people will wake up in the morning and say, I wish there were a distraction so I don't have to pray or read the Bible. There's some people who love the Lord, who are good Christians, right? Not that there's any that are good. And you know what? They're like, I hope a distraction comes because I don't want to pray and I don't want to read. You'll get out what you put in. That's true for all of us. The third thing is you need to be disciplined. He says, I will watch to see what he will say to me. You need to be disciplined. You need to anticipate. This is that expectation. Listen to this. Are you guys with me in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1? It says, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. Do you notice that Habakkuk didn't say what he might say to me? He didn't say what I hope he'll say to me. He didn't say what I wish he will say to me. He says what he will say to me. Habakkuk hadn't heard from the Lord yet. There is a spirit of expectation. He is anticipating, I'm going to hear from the Lord. When you go to God's word, when you open up this word, when you go in prayer, you need to have that spirit of expectation that God is going to speak to you. He will speak to you. I think it was J. Vernon McGee was asked this. I feel like I told this illustration not too long ago. That J. Vernon McGee was asked one time, like, how is it that you do it? How is it that you teach, you know, and you're always got something that is applicable to everybody's lives and everything? And he says, I'm begging the Lord for something. I'm anticipating he's going to speak to me, but I'm begging him. He says, and most people that teach the Bible, they don't really go in and beg the Lord. They just kind of get up. Listen, you can alliterate, you can make an outline, you can find insights, but having something that will be deep and will set root in people's hearts, that's got to be a work of the Lord. Can't be a work of man. Are you with me? And so Habakkuk has taught us you need to be disciplined enough to say, it's coming. This message, this word from the Lord is coming. And then the fourth thing, we'll see if we'll get to all three of these points, but I got to speed up here. There's a lot of good stuff. You need to be defined or developed by the Lord. And he says, and what I will answer when I am corrected. In other words, when God corrects my heart, I'm wondering, I'm wrestling, God, why would you do it? God will come in. When you ask him why, he'll give you an answer. Sometimes it won't be the answer that you want. And he will correct you. And that's where you need to be open. You need to be defined or developed by the Lord, where he'll say, listen, Robert, you got the wrong perspective. You're looking at it from your perspective, and I'm telling you, this is my perspective. You couldn't handle this at this time. I've got something better. Hang in there. It's coming. Wait. Keep pursuing me. Whatever it would be for you. We need to have a willingness to change to the Lord and to be defined and developed by him. The second thing, turn to 1 Kings, the second point we'll look at. We know that there's a definite position that's needed. And then 1 Kings 18, there's a definite perspective that is needed. So if you go to all the Samuels, the Kings, the Chronicles, it's right in that section, right close to the middle. 1 Kings chapter 18, we're going to look at the life of Elijah. We're going to look at the life of Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 41 through 46. A definite perspective is needed. You need to have a perspective that God has. You need to see things that he how he sees things and what he wants to do. And we see that there's a work in verses 41 through 46 in the life of Elijah that we need to glean from. The first thing we see in verse 41 is it involves getting ready. You need to be ready for things. If you have faith, if you want to have a spirit of expectation, you need to be ready. You need to involve getting ready, getting prepared. And so verse 41 tells us that. And he says this, then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Now, there had been a drought for 3.5 years. And Elijah said, listen, go up. Ahab, get ready. He's pulling others in, which is what we need to do when we're doing something that God has put into our heart, when he's called us to something, when he gives us a message. Bring others in. That's a good thing to do. And he says, get ready. Go up and eat and drink. In other words, you better be ready because, listen, it's coming. You need to be nourished. You need to be ready for this work. And then he says, he's listening. In getting ready, you need to be listening. And he says, for there is, at the end of verse 41, there is the sound of abundance of rain. There had been 3.5 years where there had been no rain, and all of a sudden he starts hearing rain. Listen, I'm trying to prepare you for the next few verses. 42 through 44 are going to kind of lay it out where Elijah's going to be now looking for the rain. He heard the rain, but he hasn't seen it yet. And if he really heard it, it's really, really far off. Rain was nowhere in sight or sound, and Elijah prayed with expectation. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you a few quick things before we go to verses 42 through 44. Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." When you go in with prayer, when you go in with a spirit of expectation, you're listening. God, I'm anticipating. I want to hear from you. I want something dynamic to happen. You have to have ears to hear. Some people have ears, but they don't hear from the Lord. John the Apostle, by the way, that was recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Let him who has ears, let him hear. And then John the Apostle said the same thing in Revelation, where Jesus is revealing himself. He said the same thing to every one of the seven churches. In Revelation 2 and 3, he says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So you have to be open. You have to be receptive. Are you guys with me? A lot of principles to catching. The next thing we see here in verses 42 through 44 incorporates getting released. There needs to be a release of what God has promised, what he's doing, the work that he's giving you. It says in verse 42, "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, Mount Carmel, and then he bowed down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees." Birthing, what happens when you give birth? You kind of crunch. It's a birthing position. Are you guys with me? This is a birthing position. Let me read it again. Because when God puts something in your heart, there's God. A lot of times it's a spiritual birth. I'm going to get to this in just a minute, but it's got to be a work that's first taken birth in you before it takes birth out of you. Are you with me? So let me read this verse again, 42, and I want you, he's like, he's praying, but he's like in a birthing position. "So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees." If you know anything about childbirth, there's a couple ways that you can do that. You can do it on your back, or you can do it on your knees. You can squat. There's a lot of different ways that you can help with gravity and everything. So there's something being birthed out of Elijah at this point. Faith is allowing that to be birthed through him. And he says in verse 43 to his servant, he says, "Go up now, look toward the sea." He says, go out and look towards the sea, far off, right? Are you guys with me on the picture here? And so his servant went up and he looked and he said, "There's nothing." Seven times this takes place. And he said, "Go again." Elijah told him six times, "Go." And he came back every time, "There's nothing." Don't despise the day of small beginnings. There's nothing. There's nothing. You know what happens? You get discouraged and you feel defeated. "Well, where is this promise that you've given to me?" Just wait. 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 Don't give up. Keep pursuing. And then he says to him a seventh time, "Servant," Gehazi, I think it was Gehazi, he says, "Go out, look again." Maybe that's Elisha's servant. "Go out." Go out one more time. In verse 44, it says, "Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, 'There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea.' So he said, 'Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you.'" He says, "Listen, go up." Seventh time, he says, "Go up again. I want you to look one more time." And so his servant goes up. He looks. Before there had been nothing. Now there's way off in the distance. There's just a little tiny cloud. Nothing else. There is no other cloud in the sky except for a little tiny cloud. And Elijah says, "That's all that I need. A little tiny cloud. A little mustard seed of faith." Are you guys with me? These are the principles to see something happen. You have to have ears to hear. You have to have eyes to see. What is God showing you? It might be small. You got to believe God for these things. Again, what's stirring in your heart right now? And God would say, "I just have this cloud the size of a man's hand that's up in the sky." And then you persist as Elijah did. And there's almost like an excitement. "Ahab, you better get up, Ahab, and you better go because the rain's coming, man, and it's going to overtake you." Verses 45 and 46, it includes getting revealed. Now it's going to be revealed. Verse 45, "Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel." The first thing that is revealed to us has to be to you. Remember we talked about giving birth? It has to be revealed to you. The work always has to begin with you first. What is stirring in your heart? That has to begin with you first. You've got to consider it that it's a work that the Lord wants to do and he's birthing through you. So what work is the Lord doing in you right now? What does he have for you in 2019? He's going to do it in you first before he reveals it to man. And that's verse 46. It's revealed to you, to me, right? Revealed to me and then to men. It has to be revealed to me before it's revealed to man. Verse 46 is to man. Verse 46 says this, then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins, and he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. You have to understand, this is amazing. This is miraculous times here, right here. Elijah's given a cloud the size of a man's hand, and then the hand of the Lord comes in, and he says, listen, it's coming. And everything turns black. And it's rainy, starts to come. Ahab rode away in a chariot. And then it says here, Elijah girded up his loins. They had robes, they girded them up. So they pull them up over the waist, they take a belt, they cinch themselves up. And then it says, and he began running. And it says in verse 46, do you guys see this? And he ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. In other words, he outran horses, a chariot. You guys with me? This is amazing, isn't it? It's astounding. Are you getting discouraged with things that God has put into your heart? The promises, the gifts, the calling? Do you feel like giving up? Here's what you do. You keep praying. You keep looking, you keep expecting. You look for that little cloud. It just takes a little bit. Listen, don't talk yourself out of what God wants to do. Don't let others around you come in and tell you things like, God can't do that. He's not going to do that in your life. All you need is the Lord. Just listen to the Lord. Just look to the Lord. And when he shows you that cloud, that little cloud the size of a hand, then go for it and allow the miracles to begin taking place. It's got to be birthed through you, and then others will see it. And people will wonder, and you'll humbly say, this is all the Lord. It's amazing how God is. Look at the great things that God has done. And you just direct it right back to the Lord, rightfully so. God, look how good God is. He is so faithful. What is it that God's stirring in front of you, inside of you, in your heart? There's got to be a definite position that's needed. There's got to be a definite perspective that's needed. And now we see third and finally, there's a definite prayer that's needed. Turn to Proverbs. We're going to go through three sections of Scripture, three passages very, very quickly. Look at Proverbs 23, and we talk about prayer. This one will be quick, and then we're going to go to James 1 and then Luke 11. So in Proverbs chapter 23, we see that there needs to be a claiming of our desire. The things that God has put into our heart, we need to claim those things. You know what I hate? I hate this in the middle of a sermon when I'm thinking, gosh, this sounds like a word faith message. I'm taking Scripture, I'm breaking it apart, and I think, you know what? You can go on TBN and hear the same message. I hear that. And you know, this is the wrestling that I go through, because I'm up here. I'm like, I hope these people know that this is not like a word faith. We're not naming it and claiming it. What we're asking is not for a house, unless really truly there was something that God said, I've got a house for you, or a car or something, you know, materialistic. But generally what we're saying is there's got to be a work. There's a calling. There's something spiritual that God wants to do. Are you guys with me? And you know what it is that the Lord has put upon your hearts. These people will come in and they'll say, listen, you just got to claim your desire. God's put it in your heart. You just got to believe God for it. And just, you know what, get that new car. And you know why it works? I'll just be honest, because I look at this stuff. You know why it works for these churches? You know why these churches grow, especially with a message like that? Because these people want to hear that message. They want wealth more than they want Jesus Christ. I'm not saying they don't want Jesus Christ. Are you guys with me? But they adhere, they hold on to that message of faith for materialistic things rather than, listen, I want what God wants. There's a huge difference. I'm saying you want what God wants. You don't want a new house if that's not what God has for you. So when I say Proverbs 23, verses 17 through 19 is claiming our desire, you have to understand it's the things that God has put in your heart. As you delight yourself in him, the Bible tells us, I think it's Psalm 34 says, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. But you first delight yourself in him. Are you with me? It's Jesus and then the desires, not your desires and then Jesus. It's a mixed up order. So here in these verses, and look at the middle verse, verse 18, that's really where we're the key verse here. It says, don't let your heart envy sinners. In other words, don't look to that, to sinners. Don't be zealous for the fear of the Lord, but be zealous for the fear of the Lord all day. For surely there is a hereafter and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, it's going to happen. Just wait. Expect the Lord to do that work, the desires that are in your heart. And verse 19, hear my son and be wise and guide your heart in the way. That's Solomon's writing to his son. He says, listen, son, this is good advice, Solomon's saying. This is good advice, son. Guide yourself in the way and expect something to happen. There's a hereafter. They'll be looking at the temporal, look at the eternal. And now, very quickly, we're almost done. Go to James chapter 1. We need to control our doubting. James chapter 1, if you know the passage, you know exactly what I'm going to say. You know exactly what the Lord would have for you. Don't doubt. Claim your desire, but hey, make sure you control your doubting. And James is very clear. What happens when a person doubts? He says, this is exactly what will happen. You should expect nothing. If you go with a spirit of expectation, you're not doubting. You're expecting something. You're hopeful. You're anticipating. You're purposeful. And James says this in James chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. He says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. Don't doubt. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. The wind blows waves all around. There's nothing stable. There's nothing consistent about them. A person who doesn't go with faith but goes in doubt, it just moves around like a flag in the wind. He says, for let not that man suppose, a man who doubts, let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In other words, ground yourself. You know why we read the word? Because it grounds you. You don't listen to yourself. You don't listen to your friends. You listen to the Lord, and it grounds you. It's your rock. He's our rock, and it puts you on the rock. And you know what the Bible says about the rock? Those who are on the rock shall not be easily moved. They can be moved, but they're not easily moved. You can be deceived, but not easily deceived. You can be discouraged, but not easily discouraged. You can be defeated, but not easily defeated. When you're on the rock, you're solid. And so control your doubting. And then turn to Luke chapter 11. And we'll finish with this passage. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. You need to consider our direction. Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 13. Consider our direction. Jesus told us to be persistent and expect things. He says, keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking in these verses. Consider our direction. How do you pursue the Lord in 2019? Consider it. Ask him, seek him, knock on the door. And it says here, verse 9, Luke chapter 11, verse 9. Jesus says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Listen to these promises. Listen, there's no, in case you go, when you go through scriptures, here's what you want to do. You always want to look for the unbroken chains. If you ask, you're going to get it. Verse 9, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. There's no breaking there. Not, sometimes it'll be given. There's no timing or percentage. It's 100%. Ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find, knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. There's the principle, there's the point that he's talking about. If you pursue, if you ask, if you seek, if you knock, you're going to find, you're going to get, you're going to receive. And then verses 11 through 13, there's a premise and a promise. Listen to the premise and the promise, verse 11. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if a son asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? In other words, listen, he's comparing. The premise is even your earthly fathers are going to take care of you. Faith is going through some phase right now. I don't know if it's the new grandbaby. I don't know. Faith is going through a phase right now, and She's challenging. But you know what? I absolutely want to bless her. And I try and give her every opportunity to be blessed, even though she's rebellious, even though she challenges, even though she opposes, even though she talks negative things. I correct her, but I want to bless her. Are you guys with me? And I'm just an earthly father. And you know what? Yesterday, I wanted to bless her. I wanted to take her to the park. I wanted to take her to Walmart. I wanted to get her a little treat, you know, get her a few things. She likes those things. She's a girl, you know. Girls like to get things. They do. I know that. I got three girls. And Faith likes to get little tiny toys. She likes to get, I got her conditioner. I went ahead and got her it anyways. I got her conditioner and it smells good. So she was smelling it last night. But I wanted to do more. Yeah, I'm an earthly father. But look at what Jesus says. Now he's going to talk about the heavenly father. If you, verse 13, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Romans chapter 8. If the father didn't hold back his son from being sacrificed for you, what good thing would he withhold from you? Are you guys with me? I'm just lining scriptures up for you and for me. What good thing would God withhold from you today? Church, don't be discouraged. Don't listen to doubts. Don't deny what God has deposited into your hearts. Let's add or replace the tools into our wheelhouse so we can have a spirit of expectation in 2019. We do that by having a definite position that's needed, a definite perspective that's needed, and a definite prayer that's needed. Let's pray.